Fresno State President Dr. John Welty joins us today. Dr. Welty, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
1991, you started your tenure as president of Fresno State. What was your first impression of the university and the campus when you came here for the first time?
Well, I was attracted to Fresno State because I thought there was great potential here as a university to not only serve students but also to connect with the region. And I know I remember being excited to come on board and to begin working with the people here.
Both the campus and Fresno as a community have both seen a substantial number of changes over the years, both in the physical landscape from the new expansion of the Madden Library to the Save Mart Center and also expansion in a number of campus programs. How has the university changed in your view, not so much physically, but as a culture in the time that you've been president?
Well, I think probably two major things I mentioned. I think we have really strengthened academic programs in a number of ways, and in our particularly undergraduate programs have succeeded in engaging students in their learning experience through service learning, through internships, through undergraduate research. And all of that, I think, has really strengthened our undergraduate and graduate programs because students, I think, are able to gain more from their experience and to see the relationship between what's happening in the classroom and what actually happens in the community or in whatever area they're pursuing. I think, secondly, we've been able as a university to engage with this region and to use the resources that a university has, which are primarily its faculty, to work with people to address problems, to begin figuring out solutions, and really linking the university in a way that I think is very important for a public university.
Following up on that, you've been very out front in leading that effort for an engaged university with everything from economic development to the service learning things that you were just mentioning. In fact, Fresno's Mayor Ashley Swearingen is one of your deputies, so to speak. Was that commitment always a part of your vision for the university? University presidents, universities often have challenging relationships, town and gown, as they say, in the world of academia, between the ivy-covered walls of the institution of higher learning and the community at large. Was enhancing that connection in the community always a part of your vision for the university? Did that develop or change over time? Talk about that a little more.
Well, I think I was heavily influenced by my experience, my master's degree experience at Michigan State, and which was a land-grant university. And at the time that I was there, there was lots of discussion about how public universities should engage with their states and regions. And my thinking over the years as I've worked primarily in public comprehensive universities is that we do have a responsibility to work with the community in which we're located. After all, the public supports us, and I think that we can demonstrate the resource or the value that the university can bring to a community and a region. And we're certainly located here, so we have a major responsibility, I think, to be not only a good citizen but a contributing citizen to this region.
During your tenure, you also presided over two major budget crises, both in the 1990s and the most recent one, which we're just coming out of right now. Governor Brown recently released his revised budget, and it does appear that things are improving in education in California. But by no means are we out of the hole. With those challenges, looking back on them today, how do you see both the pain and also did anything good come out of this overall, these two major, very painful situations in the 90s and this most recent crash?
Well, I think there's no question that particularly in the last 5 years, the state has disinvested in public higher education. And that's been a very difficult change for us to work with because fees have gone up to replace some of that disinvestment. And then we've had to make some other pretty dramatic changes in terms of how we deliver education to students and what we're able to offer. Even today, we're operating about $1,200 per student less than we were in 2007 and 8. So we've made lots of changes to become more effective, more efficient, and I'm very, very proud of our faculty and staff for how they have worked to try to keep students in mind and made those adjustments. I think we're a stronger university today than we were 20 years ago. At the same time, as we look to the future, I don't think the state's probably going to be able to replace what's been lost. So what as we move forward, I think we are at a point where hopefully the state continues to invest somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 45% of our costs through state dollars and the remainder from student and private funds. But that and some states have actually dipped below that 40% figure. So I hope that doesn't happen in California, because I think it will be increasingly difficult to serve all the students that want to go to higher education, because our population continues to grow. And that's our difficulty now. As we climb out of this, we've got more and more students that want to come to college, are prepared for college, but we don't have the slots to serve them.
There's a national dialogue that's going on right now and has been for some time about the rising cost of higher education. And in the CSU system, it's still relatively affordable compared with many other states, many other private institutions. But this is certainly a concern by many. And you have some people in the media and academia even questioning the value of certain degrees, especially with the changes in our economy and things. Are we on a sustainable path in this country with our approach to higher education and the cost of higher education?
Well, I think it probably is, because it's clear that the importance of higher education is growing rather than going the other way. We know, for example, the Public Policy Institute has pointed out that we need 1 million more college graduates in 2025 than currently are being produced by universities in California. That has, if we don't catch up, that has dramatic consequences for the economy of the state, because our economy is really based upon a college-educated population and continued innovation. So I think we do have to continue to address this issue of costs, and the costs have risen to individuals largely because states have disinvested. So I think there's a fundamental public policy question. What's the appropriate balance between what the state invests and what the individual should invest? And I think there will be ongoing debates about that. But the simplistic solutions that have been advanced, such as let's do everything online and some of those things, aren't really realistic. So I think we do have to decide as a state how much do we want to invest, how important is it to our future, and then figure out a way to accomplish that. And obviously, I think also in higher education, we're at the front end of some pretty dramatic changes. Obviously, people are experimenting now with online and doing different things. And I think 5 years from now, we'll deliver higher education in a different way than we are today. I'm not sure I can answer the question, how will that be? But I think it is what I see as the front end of going to be some very, very significant changes over a 5 to 10 year period.
If you just joined us on Valley Edition today, our guest is soon to retire Fresno State President Dr. John Welty. You mentioned the reduction across the board, not just in California, but throughout the nation, and public support for higher education that puts an even greater emphasis on philanthropy. And support from the community has been a major part of your vision for the university and the campaign for Fresno State, the major capital campaign that just completed. Talk to us about how that has become a more important. It's always been a part of higher education, but how has the importance of that changed? And what were the lessons learned from that in the case of Fresno State?
Yeah. Well, I think there's no question about the importance of private support in order to enhance programs. And that's what we've experienced in the campaign through lots of our larger gifts, whether it's the Jordan gift for agriculture or the Richter gift for service learning, the Lyles gift for the College of Engineering, et cetera. All of those gifts are from individuals that really wanted to enhance the experience at Fresno State for students and faculty. And that's really what I think private support allows us to do. And I think we learned through this campaign that there's a large number of very generous people, but a large number of people in this region and beyond that really believe in Fresno State, are willing to support to the degree that they can, and believe that the continued growth and the improvement of the quality of the university is important to this region.
Also, on an issue of cost, you're a member of the NC2A Board of Directors, and there's been a lot of national discussion recently about the future of intercollegiate athletics, especially at the Division I level. The discussion about compensation for student athletes beyond their scholarships, beyond those sorts of things, actually paying student athletes. The NC2A has been very out front in saying that that may not be a sustainable strategy, and you, in fact, have filed some legal briefs on that issue. Can you elaborate a little more on your thoughts as to why paying student athletes would not be a good thing for a university like Fresno State? And is it really realistic to think that universities would get out of the world of intercollegiate athletics if that were the case? Why would that be the case in Fresno State's situation?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to recognize that there's at the most 10% of the programs in Division I that actually generate a surplus in any given year. And all the other programs like Fresno State, we are dependent upon additional subsidy from both our state budget as well as private support, ticket sales, et cetera. But even then, without the state subsidy, we don't, you know, break even. So this notion that there's tremendous amount of money to pay additional amounts is I think, somewhat misleading. And the other issue, I think, is that when we talk about paying student athletes, revenue is largely generated from football and basketball. And if you look at paying student athletes by law, by federal law, Title IX, you have to treat all student athletes the same. And so it's not realistic to assume that you can pay a football player or a basketball player and not deal in a similar way with other student athletes. So I think the issue is a very difficult one. Obviously, there's huge amounts of money involved now with new key TV contracts. But I think it's important to remember that a student does get a full grant and aid, or student athletes get a full grant and aid, that they also receive numerous other support services while they're in college that help them to be successful. And that is, I think, a significant amount of support that a student receives as a result of their participation in student athletes. But going beyond that level of the support they need to paying them, I think, opens a door that it's not realistic for intercollegiate athletics to try to walk into that arena. If we want to pay student athletes, then let's go professional, have those professional leagues and minor leagues and other things undertake that activity. But it's obviously going to be an ongoing debate in coming years, and it's a complex issue.
With the realignments, constant shifting alliances in college athletics and the massive amounts of television money and things that the largest of the high-profile institutions receive, are the inequities between the haves and the have-nots, not saying that Fresno State is in the have-nots category, but certainly is not at the level of a USC or a SEC-type team. Is the future of college athletics sustainable in that regard as well? This seems like a very troubled time or very challenging time for universities, especially ones the size of Fresno State, kind of caught in the middle.
Yeah, it is a very difficult time because it's frankly the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And Fresno State is in Division I at the bottom half of in terms of funding that we receive and support that we generate. So there are limits at which we can go in terms of competing, both in terms of facilities and coaching salaries, et cetera. So there are going to be challenges, I think, in the future. And I think it is important that within higher education we reach some agreement that, there's competitive fairness and it's really important to the future of intercollegiate athletics. I'm one, for example, that I guess I'd be critical of some of the bigger schools that are generating surpluses. Why are they not reinvesting in their academic programs? I certainly probably, if I had that opportunity, would look to do that because I think that's how we demonstrate that we're being responsible. But in investing in additional facilities, higher salaries, it is not sustainable.
As a university president in Fresno or anywhere else, the spotlight is very bright. The pressure can be very high. Certainly, there have been a lot of highs. There have also been a number of lows during your tenure as president. How did you get through those difficult times, whether it was NC2A investigations, Title IX, or the lawsuits, challenges laying off professors back in the 90s with the budget cuts. Was there ever a time that you just wished to be back in the classroom and not the pressures of the president's desk? How did you deal with that personally?
Well, there have been some of those days. There have been a lot of sleepless nights during some of those periods. I think what I really tried to focus on is the longer range in terms of what we were trying to accomplish as a university. And as we went through periods of difficulty, to recognize, yes, we've got to work through those, but we've got to take responsibility for making changes that we need to make, and at the same time stay focused on where it is we wanted to go with the university. And I think we've been able to do that. It's a great tribute, I think, to our faculty and staff that worked through difficult times. We've continued, I think, to get stronger over the years despite fiscal difficulties and other issues. I'm very proud of our faculty and staff and administrators who, I think, deeply value providing opportunities for students, particularly first-generation students, and what their rewards are is to see the difference they make in students' lives.
Your life has changed also quite a bit in your time in Fresno. Your wife, Dr. Sharon Brown Welty, you met her here in Fresno. You've spent the last 22 years here. How have you changed, and what's it going to be like to leave?
Well, this is the longest I've ever spent anywhere in my life, including my home. Fresno is very much a part of me. It always will be. Obviously, it's going to be a change, the change of pace, I think, in terms of schedule, and I'll have to make some adjustments. But I'm looking forward to continuing to stay involved in some things, and hopefully have a little bit more time to do some reading and chase a little white ball and be able to reflect on some of my experiences.
Looking at the future of Fresno State, the university recently celebrated its centennial and well into its next century of providing education to students. What do you see as the big issues looming ahead for the next president?
Well, I think there will be the continuing challenge of fiscal issues that we need to work with. But probably one of the biggest issues is looking at the changes that are going to occur and how we deliver instruction, and to try to take advantage of making changes that assures that we continue to provide a good, solid educational experience for students, and to do it in a way that minimizes as much cost as possible. But I think we are going to see a lot of change, and it'll be a matter of how you work through that and try to strengthen the university over time, while at the same time making sure the university continues to remain engaged with its alumni and supporters, because we are going to need the private support in order to continue to grow in the future.
Do you see the role of the CSU or even the role of Fresno State changing in some way? When you started, Fresno State didn't offer things like the doctoral program in education that the university does now. A lot of things have changed since the Master Plan for Higher Education in California came out decades ago. Do you see a different role in the future, on the long term, for Fresno State and similar CSU campuses perhaps, or is that sort of unchanging?
Well, no, our role, I think, has changed significantly over the 22 years that I've been here. We are, I think, going to have to assume more responsibility for offering those academic programs that help to prepare students for careers that the economy needs in the Central Valley. We're also going to, I think, as we become more engaged with the region, accept that responsibility to do the best we can to help work through problems. I don't see us taking on a role as a major research university. I think one of the pieces of good news is with the addition of UC Merced, the capacity that we have in the Central Valley for higher education is growing, so that I think Fresno State can work with UC Merced and we can provide more in terms of public higher education to this region than ever before. And that is absolutely essential to the transformation of Central California.
Any advice for the next president?
Well, good luck. Have a thick skin and take time to laugh at yourself from time to time.
Fresno State President Dr. John Welty joins us today on Valley Edition. He's retiring this summer after 22 years of service for the university. Dr. Welty, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.